Welcome to our first Soccer Down Here 1v1 of 2022. My name is Jason Longshore, and today we have Craig Pettigrew of GG8 Sports. If you remember the end of last year, we had Jimmy Maurer on the show, and Jimmy talked about GG8 and how he is working with them. Now we get to hear a little more and get in depth with Craig. Craig, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's been a crazy start to the year as we're all dealing with everything going on and trying to move into 22 and get things going in a big way. You guys have a big year on deck. This feels like a big introduction to a lot of the soccer community. And when I was talking to our common friend Steve Hutton about all this, like, it grabbed my attention because it just – the process feels so logical of what you guys do. How did it come together to create GG8?
Well, I think, when obviously I have three kids that are soccer players. And so I'm around the game, the youth game, you know, a lot. And, I just see a lot of subjectivity in how players are evaluated, how coaches evaluate players. You know, we say within our company is no two coaches look at a player the same, and it's the truth. And because of that, how many opportunities are missed for these kids, and how could we as a company modify that, right? I mean, I think you look at other sports, and I'll use one as a perfect example, is baseball. You know, baseball has been driven by statistics for, 100, 120 years, with batting averages, fielding percentages, you know, all that type of stuff. And it's done also at the youth level. And what it allows you to do is evaluate players, whether they're a rec player, whether a double A player, a triple A player, all the way up to the majors. And they use that philosophy from the youth level all the way to the majors of professional baseball. And we as a company just thought, you know, how can we bring that to youth soccer and really be able to help benchmark these kids of where their true abilities are compared to kids their age. So that's really kind of how it started.
I think what jumps out to me, there's so many different levels of it. And one of the easy things that grabbed my attention is kind of how it's almost like gamified for the kids. Like, right. the kids want to compete with other kids. And how did that process come up, and how did you create a platform to be able to do that?
Well, it's funny. It's, again, I'll go back to my kids. So on our current website, which we're in the process of relaunching here in the next couple of weeks. And so that was our kind of our first stab at it. And so anyway, there's a picture of my daughter on there and kind of a FIFA card, right? And it's not her actual scoring. We just kind of threw something up there. But as I'm showing I have an 11-year-old, and he sits on my lap, and I'm showing, oh, look at the new website. We're scrolling through, and here comes the picture of his sister, right? And he goes, well, that is, I'm better than that. I can do better than that. And I mean, instantly it created that competitiveness, right? Of being able to see that. And, you know, you can provide analytics to a kid. You know, we can run a report from Stats Perform or any of the top stats companies, but you hand them a 30-page report, they have no idea what they're looking at, right?
Right.
What do they understand? They understand video games. They understand that side of stuff. So we try to put it in the true data into a format that is based off the game, you know, like the EA Sports game FIFA and those player cards and their FIFA ratings and that sort of thing. But we actually use true data to be able to do that. So
how does the data get compiled?
So within our company, we have three pillars that we talk about. We talk about, you know, objectivity, we talk about simplicity, and then we talk about the opportunity. And for us, it's the simplicity, right? So basically, we take video from, you know, let's say a U15 game or whatever it is. It could be a Veo, it could be a camcorder, it could be, you know, whatever it is. And then we attach that along with a match sheet because we have to know who the players are, what position they're playing, when the substitutions happen, that sort of thing. So literally, we take a video of the game, we take a match sheet of who the players are, and we work with Stats Perform. So the analytics that we use are bar none the best in the industry. It's already done across the MLS. It's done across all through Europe, you know, FIFA, you know, sanctioned federations. But they just don't really go after the youth market. And so we've partnered with them as their global youth partner. And so we take that information, we submit it to Stats Perform, they send it back to us, we put it through our algorithms that creates that scoring system. And then we create player reports. And what's interesting is not only do we create reports for, say, specific games or whatever, but we really want to build what we call trend reports. We want to see how that player trends, right? Because as most people know, you know, a player's progression is not linear. It's not a straight line, right? Players go up and they go down. Well, this gives us the ability to kind of say, okay, why are they maybe dropping at this time? Or, you know, who was the competition maybe they were playing at? So, you know, there's a lot of deep analytics that we can go into, but at the end of the day, it's also about giving those analytics to kids where they understand them, right? And they understand those FIFA scores.
That development side of it is really fascinating, and it's probably a bigger deal, you know, working with kids who are going to have that development be a big factor in whether they get noticed or get a, you know, in this country, get a college scholarship, get a pro contract. You guys are working kind of along those lines as well and making this accessible to some of those decision makers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, our goal, you know, obviously, you know, in a perfect world would be able to track every kid in the world, right? And have this massive database where we could compare every 14-year-old in the world, right? We understand there's different levels that they play at and that sort of thing, which is fine. But it's also being able to identify those kids young. Where do they need to improve, right? And giving them that FIFA card again, right? Okay, you're a 52 in passing. Well, man, I really need to work on my passing. So here are certain drills that we can do that can improve that aspect of my game. And then we continue to track them throughout the season and we can see that progression. So once all those, every kid that we track goes into a proprietary system we have called Edge 360. Okay. And Edge 360 is an amazing platform, and that's a whole show on itself. But Edge 360 basically puts those kids into this database, and then we can actually rank. We can go in there and say, show me the best 14-year-old on the planet. Show me the best 14-year-old in Atlanta, right? That's a center back that plays this style. So there's lots of filtering that you can do, okay, right? So from a recruiting aspect, college coaches can come into Edge 360 and say, look, I'm graduating a left back that plays this style. Show me the best, you know, left backs that are seniors that are graduating in a 350-mile radius. And then we actually rank. Based on the analytics, we can rank those players if they're in our system and then give those coaches access to contact. So
that's, I mean, it's game changing. Yeah. It's something that I think in this game, one of the hardest things has been to quantify it. And, you know, there are still kind of the old school mentalities in the game, especially worldwide, of, you know, you can't put numbers to soccer and blah, 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 blah. It sounds like you guys are starting to find a way that, you know, it doesn't tell you the whole picture necessarily, right, but it gets you started in that scouting and analysis department.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I coach youth sports and look, a coach's word is still the coach's word. Right. Yeah. And we're not trying to replace coaching. We're not trying to say analytics are the way that you have to do things. You know, you still have to have that connectivity between your players. You still have to manage the game as the game's going on as well, right? So, but what we're trying to do is give an objective look at a player, like we talked at the first of the show, right? No two coaches look at the same player the same way. Yeah. And especially at the younger level, you know, when you start with a, you know, 5 or 6 year old or whatever, you know, what's the first thing that happens when you bring your kid to practice? The dad walks up or mom and says, my son's a forward, by the way, he's a striker. He's really good. Right. There's no, never any goalkeepers when they're 5 or 6 years old.
No, sadly.
And so, you know, it's help identifying too, where does that kid impact the game the most, right? Let's play them at a couple of positions and let's see where they impact the game the most. Right. And at the end of the day too, it helps the coaches from a player evaluation perspective. Right. I don't know how many player evaluations I've set through with my kids and the coach gives me the evaluation. Do I always agree with it? No. Do I agree with it sometimes? Sure. But now if a coach could have analytics to kind of back that up and say, look, this is where your kid really needs to improve based on not all the analytics, but what I see, mm-hmm. then it's as a parent, it feels a little more real in a sense, if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. And I think this can really bridge a lot of gaps in the game right now. And we'll talk about it specifically in this country where, you know, a lot of the kids who can move up the ladder in different parts of the country, a lot of times it comes down to how much money they have and right. you know, if they can afford to play at some of these bigger clubs. If you're able with GG8 to kind of take some of that out of it and start to measure players across different data sets and different categories, it could create a lot of opportunities for kids to maybe go to a professional team, but also potentially go to college where they might not have been seen otherwise.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I think, you know, if we look, if the last 2 years has taught us anything, right, of coaches not being able to see players not being able to play, right? Yep. And, with the super seniors in college this year that had the chance, the opportunity to come back, I mean, my son's club team, you know, they were an amazing team. And, you know, I think probably – most of them had scholarship offers, but there were a lot that there just weren't places for them to go. Right. So they had to take gap years and that sort of thing. So, that's a different example, but you know, what about the kids that are, you know, I'm from Texas, so are in a far out East Texas and yeah. that don't play in a Frisco or a Dallas where we're all the, you know, the main big clubs in that in Houston and those big areas are at, you know, I mean, you take a look at Ricardo Pepe, right? He was in El Paso, Texas, and was discovered out there and brought him to Frisco. And you know, he signed with the academy and we all know what he's done from there. But how many other kids are out there that were potentially missing because they don't have the money to travel to these showcases and those types of things? So, again, it's an opportunity for clubs to discover players, universities, and also I think it's also more importantly, it gives parents a true evaluation of where their kids really realistic expectations, right? And with kids in youth sport, it's about setting the correct expectations, in my opinion.
And I think when you get to the professional side of it, where you know, I know you guys are talking to some of the academies around the country and helping them with recruitment and analysis and progression of players. But when you get to that side, you know, maybe it doesn't replace a scout's eyes all the time, but it can narrow down that list to send the scout to. It's something where it can be a big, you know, asset to any organization, it sounds like.
Yeah, we actually, it's funny you bring that up because we had a call yesterday with a gentleman from Chilean and he's an agent down there. And he said that a couple of days ago, he got, I think it was 53 highlight videos sent to him. And he's like, I'm an agent and I'm having to sort through these highlight videos. I have no context around who they're playing, what they're, you know, what level it is. It's just like, oh, these are all strikers that are really good, you know, but no context around it. And, right. and I think if we're able to say, start tracking a kid at 13, 14 years old, and we track him over a 3 or 4 year period, now we're being able to put context around his ability. Yeah. What level is he playing at? Has he moved up from, you know, a classic league to an ECNL? You know, is he making that natural progression, right? And yes, coaches will find those players, but there's also players that maybe from where they started are really gaining. And it's not about the best 18-year-old we can find. It's really about what's that 18 going to be at 22.
Right.
And that's where those trends and that sort of stuff that we want to be able to track from a younger age.
I think what I love most about it is the duality of it, how you can create that hard data, that information for a club, for a college coach, for a recruiter. But then for the kids who are participating in it, they get the kind of the game aspect of it. They sure. get that side. So you're hitting like all aspects of doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think our society today with kids, it's, you know, they ingest content in very short blurbs. Right. And they, you know, they're how many times you see them just heads down on their phone and they're on Instagram and they're on Snapchat and all these other things. Well, what our thought process is, you know, okay, if we can create these highlight clips and we can create, you know, these player profiles and ratings based on their true data, create that competition between the kids, right? I mean, we've thrown out ideas of running the GGA NBA, kind of like the ESPN, the Sports Center top 10, right?
Yeah.
Where you have the top 10 goals of the week, the top 10 players of the week. And it's not always about the strikers. It's not always about the goalkeepers. It's what about that? Who's the best, you know, who was the top 10 midfielders, right? Based on how they performed this week. And then be able to gamify that with the kids and create some competition. And the other thing that we're doing at GG8 is, based on the analytics, is, you know, we put together what we call GG8 Elite 11 teams, and which kind of ties back into the opportunity. We're a title sponsor for a tournament series in Germany, and we have the ability to take teams from here to go play over there, like a lot of clubs do. But what we want to do is be able to truly build all-star teams where you get kids from Dallas, from Atlanta, from California, based on their ratings, invite them in, and, you know, potentially, you know, create teams to go over there. You know, we're not trying to take kids from clubs and that sort of thing, but create opportunities for them, right? And maybe get over there and get seen, and you know, you never know what happens from there. So
it sounds like it's something like that, where a lot of times when we see like an all-star team or, you know, state ODP and different things, like, you do get to a little bit of who you know, and you're looking for a bunch of attacking players because that's what grabs your attention. But with this kind of setup, you can literally say what kind of holding midfielder you're looking like and find the best ones.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, because of their player ratings, right, you can dive down into the 10 to 12 categories that we have that create their overall score and say, look, this is the type of player that I'm looking for. Go into Edge 360, show me the best 14-year-olds in the country. And, you know, hey, let's send them an invite, see if they want to come in and try out for the team, because we're going to have an opportunity for them to travel somewhere and play. And again, you know, I've been lucky. My son was able to go over and play in the Iber Cup several years ago. But it was his actual FC Dallas team that went. It wasn't a true all-star team. It was just, hey, can the parents afford to go over there and take the kids to go have a, you know, a good experience and that sort of thing. And we love the experiences, but we want something to come out of those experiences as well.
So being in Frisco, you have hooked up with Jimmy Maurer, who we've had on the show, and I've known Jimmy since his Atlanta Silverbacks days. How does Jimmy kind of fit into this, and are you looking to add more players into the mix like that?
Yeah, we are. It's you know, Jimmy's just a tremendous guy. You know, he's a player rep for the FC Dallas, so, you know, that tells you right there there's a lot of respect you know, that the team has in him and trust in him. And, you know, the first time I met with Jimmy, him and I talked kind of about this, and it just made sense to him. Right. And he understood it. I think he even used the example on your show about, you know, he didn't make the ODP team the first time. And it's like, you know, how do I get better? Where do I need to improve? Those types of things. So, you know, Jimmy's getting involved with this. Obviously, their season's getting ready to start here pretty soon. So we're still trying to logistically figure out what all we can do together. We've got some great ideas. And you know, he's signed a new deal, I think, with a new glove company, and how do we integrate that from a gamification with the goalkeepers, you know, that we work with. So, you know, a lot of interesting things. And yeah, absolutely, we're definitely looking for other players to work with. And I think also with the new NIL roles in college, you know, hey, let's get some of these college soccer players some opportunity potentially to, you know, earn some revenue for themselves. So so there's a lot of different, you know, aspects that we're looking at from that perspective. And you know, but yeah, it's exciting time for us. That we're excited for 2022.
Let everybody know where they can find out more and how they can follow everything on social media as well.
Yeah, everything, just GG8 Sports. You know, GG8Sports.com is our website. Again, we're in the process of relaunching the website. The one that's there is kind of a placeholder that we threw up last year. As most companies, a lot of things change in direction, vision, that sort of thing. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll have the new website up, and there will be ways to contact us there. And obviously, you know, we'll be launching our social media handles and doing some pushes, you know, from that aspect as well. So
excited to see what 2022 holds for you guys. Hopefully we'll do some more things with you guys as well.
Absolutely.
In 2022. I'm excited to see where all this can go. Craig, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason. Thank you.